This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, George.
How's it here?
How are you?
Hello, Ben and Leanne.
Hey.
How was your week?
Horrified to hear about the upskirt stuff that goes on. I didn't even know people do that.
Yeah, right? That's the thing, George. Like, these laws have to come in place.
Yeah.
It's hard to comprehend. They have to, but...
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, some of the headlines I've seen this week on, you know, besides cars, have been horrifying. You know, people beating up their babies and leaving them in drains.
Right, that case in Durban.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour ordeal for authorities to get that baby out.
The baby had the placenta still attached. No, it's terrible. People are sick. Absolutely sick. I don't know how they freaking think. But anyway, on to lighter things.
Yes.
Shell, you know the petrol filling stations, Shell. They are setting themselves up squarely to shift to an electric filling station or charging station network.
Oh.
So they've partnered with a company called GridCars, and GridCars is actually driving this this initiative. They're trying to get all of the filling stations to do it.
Oh, but Shell's jumped on them. Driving this. GridCars driving.
Too clever, see.
Thanks, I'm quiet, and I'll be in the corner now.
Yeah, so the company called GridCars is driving this this initiative to try and get filling stations to put electric charging stations across their networks, and Shell's jumped on the bandwagon. A couple of others have as well, but Shell seems to be leading the pack, and they're committing to 200 charging stations by the end of next month.
Whoa.
But George, a charging station, okay, to think of it like this, how long does it take to charge your average electric car?
Depends. I mean, the supercharger network with Tesla, you could have enough charge to go a couple of hundred kilometers in 30 minutes.
So can you imagine what the charging stations look like? Because, I mean, petrol takes, what, like 5 minutes to fill up, basically?
Yeah. I think it's a very good point. So,
you know how they structure the flow
it's
of
it's going to have like a shopping center and a spa and...
Or do you like book a time, like a massage? Like, I'm filling up at 10:30. And then you arrive, and then...
And then you get your slot.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, I was in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and you'll see cars. Went to the Tesla factory, and literally, people sit in their cars waiting to charge. They sit there reading, listening to music. So I think it's a planned thing rather than
I need petrol.
So I think it's more of a planned thing, and you're right, Leanne. Maybe filling stations and what is at that forecourt will begin to change because you need other stuff to keep people busy for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're going 50 Ks, you could just go and, you know, put 10 Rand in or something.
I guess.
So I mean, I think this is a good thing. The naysayers that think that South Africa is not going to...
Is the 200 stations by next month thing. This is a global...
No, this is South Africa.
South Africa alone,
yes. Globally, there's many more, but this is South Africa alone.
Wow, 200, that's a big deal.
Yeah. On the back of that, then Tesla's got to be in the country then.
Exactly.
Because you would think, like, it'd be a risk taking it out now, but when you've got an infrastructure set up like that, then it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, absolutely.
But and then you finally get the car you want, George.
Exactly. I can't wait. I'll keep tweeting Elon Musk till he answers me.
One day he shall.
One day he will. Yes. I think so. Anyway, on to a heavier note. Last week, Thursday, the Department of Transport released a green transport strategy for South Africa, which spans 2018 to 2050. And they are proposing to increase license fees on higher emission cars, regulate emissions by testing cars that are older, banning high mileage cars over 400,000 kilometers. And they're putting these proposals forward to try and apparently drive the future of green energy through electric cars. They're also proposing no car zones in city centers and want to build bike lanes.
Oh.
Which, you know, I don't know how possible this is, but it's a nice initiative. The thing that I liked about this this strategy was there's clear encouragement to shift to electric cars by incentivizing manufacturers, which now comes the reduction of the import taxes. So if that's part of their strategy, I think that's probably the biggest part.
But also, George, like, just so smart in the South African context, because we need all the diesel we can to power Eskom. So we can't waste it on cars.
Exactly. We need electric cars.
Yeah, I'm all happy for that. But as long as, if it's a push by government, let them also support infrastructure in other ways. So if you say I shouldn't park or drive my car in this area, make sure that the buses are working efficiently, make sure that the trains are working efficiently, then I'll gladly take public transport.
So part of the strategy is to upgrade the public transport systems and to reduce the number of trucks on the road by creating what they call a green belt of trains, to encourage goods transport via trains. And then another little part of this report also proposes tagging systems for public transport where you don't have to carry cash or use credit cards.
Okay.
Almost like the Gautrain card, for lack of a better term. But these are good initiatives. But, you know, imposing taxes on people are like e-tolls.
Mm.
Rather give incentives to manufacturers to bring electric cars in, and incentives to filling stations to put electric car charging stations in, and incentivize ride-sharing lanes on the highways to reduce congestion like America does.
Right.
I think those are better initiatives, and it's part of this the strategy. But, you know, the other part is typical typical South African, you know, tax and government. They want to tax people to try and change behavior as opposed to incentivizing people to change behavior. The strategy contains both, but I think the latter is probably better.
Yeah.
It's always just that the impulse to just take things from people rather than build things.
Exactly. Yeah. Stimulate the economy rather than the other way around. Now, everybody knows that animal products are used in building the interiors of cars. Leather comes from cows.
Mm-hmm.
And other plastics and whatever contain animal products. Well, animal lovers can rejoice because a vegan car interior is on its way. VW and a couple of other manufacturers are introducing this new microfiber called Sudia. I don't know how I said Sudia, which will replace. Is replaced with vegan material, so there's no animal products within this this material.
I'm amazed this is only happening now.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely amazed.
It's like kudos that they're doing it, but why did it take us so long when pleather has been a thing?
But if you look at like the VW up, they could have made an entirely vegan car.
A very hipster.
I mean, it's just like the PR they can get out of this is huge.
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive. So anyway, it's on
like,
its way.
Like, think of like the Prius Goodwill PR that they got when that thing came out.
Yeah, if the Prius and they slapped on some vegan leather, on it, that would be the ultimate in your face, I'm a do-gooder car to drive.
Can you imagine like Ford, for example, anyway, you can save the Cougar, which they had so many bad press to make it full vegan. They could have saved that car.
It might have, but I mean that would have been a good thing. Wouldn't have stopped the car from potentially having its issues, but it could have created a positive sentiment around the car at the time.
George, do you see any kickback to this? I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a good thing. You know, the only kickback will be it'll probably cost more to have that optional extra because the volumes aren't there yet.
Exactly.
You know, the majority of people aren't going to go for a vegan car. They're still going to go for the leather and the animal product interior.
Hmm. But you look at, you know, a fake leather jacket and real leather, there's not really much of a massive difference.
So. Well, believe it or not, Tesla doesn't have real leather inside. It's got fake leather, which apparently is just as good as real leather. So those, you know, you're right. The leather jacket analogy does work. But they still contain animal products when they make those fake things. Whereas this is now a commitment to full vegan interiors in cars.
Oh. Once again, makes a Tesla amazing in your eyes.
I love Tesla. Yeah. Can do no wrong. One last thing, and that is Volvo, during the Super Bowl, and everybody knows what the Super Bowl is.
Mm-hmm.
Ben should know what the Super Bowl is. During the Super Bowl, instead of watching the Super Bowl, they incentivized viewers to see who would look at their phone screen for the longest and then gave away cars for a period of 24 months, the use of cars for a period of 24 months for the people that looked at their phone the longest. So they gamified it, okay. And you could drive a Volvo on your phone screen. And as long as you were looking at that phone screen, it recorded how long you were looking at the phone screen for.
Okay.
And believe it or not, the winner stared at their phone without looking away for 9 hours and 47 minutes.
Goodbye, miss me.
Wow.
So the Super Bowl was a non-event. So
the Volvo, that's like 2 years in a row now. They've had some very interesting
innovative stuff. Exactly.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl.
You know, so what was impressive about this campaign was that Volvo didn't have to pay $5 million during the Super Bowl for every 30-second ad.
Sure.
As a campaign, this is really smart.
It's very smart.
Because
so
everyone's driving eyes to the screen for the Super Bowl, and Volvo's differentiating itself by saying that actually take your eyes away from the football and focus on us. Interesting.
Exactly. Okay. So you know, Ben's right. 2 years in a row, Volvo's really cracked a campaign during the Super Bowl that that nobody's really seen coming, and good on them. I mean, these winners get to drive a Volvo for 2 years, and they get to be able to swap the car for another one in 12 months.
Oh.
So you know, who wouldn't want to stare at this phone screen for 9 hours?
Yeah, hmm. 9 hours is a lot, though, just in my books.
That's it.
Fantastic. Thank you, George.
This is CliffCentral.com.